Well, maybe we should just pray and sing another hymn. You know, oftentimes we find, and tonight, the hymn that I was interested in opening with was number 45. Time and time again, in meetings in different places, there's been something on my mind. And if I don't get up and speak it or do it, somebody else will. The Holy Spirit is the one that controls our meetings. And it is by no accident that you are here this evening. You are here for a reason. Oh, I know. Mom and Dad said I had to go. Yeah, I went through that too when I was a young person. Matters not. You are still here for a reason. And Mom and Dad have nothing to do with it. Or a friend. You are here because this is where God would desire for you to be. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And let's read from verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, that was deceived Eve, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. The Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. What I'm thinking of tonight is what the Lord suffered because of guilty fallen man. When sin first raised its deadly head, it forced a widening span between the man who walked with God and God who made the man. With sense of sin came sense of shame. The naked sought to hide. Instead of fellowship and peace, there came the great divide. But infinite love with wounded sword sought to bridge the span, remove the separating wedge, and walk again with man. God gave his son, his best beloved. He came, he bled, he died. To reconcile, he paid the price and bridged the great divide. F.W. Pitt said that the maker of the universe is a man, for man was cursed the claims of law which he had made unto the uttermost he paid. We couldn't pay for our sin. Our brother has pointed out that we needed a substitute. That substitute was God himself. Let's not split hairs. I realize that nowhere in the Bible am I ever going to find the word Trinity. But if you want to sit down with me sometime, we'll start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And we'll go right through the Bible. And we will see the Trinity, the three in one God taught. Remember a fellow one time at a conference in British Columbia. And he said, you know, Christ is found on every page in Scripture. Later on that evening, we were sitting having our supper. And another preacher said to him, he said, Joe, you find that Christ is found on every page in Scripture? Oh, yes, he said. Every page. Oh. Well, he said, what are you going to do with? And he come up with a sermon. Oh, Joe said, you can't see Christ there. Before the supper was over, Joe proved to us, Christ is found on every page in Scripture. That's what the Scripture is about. The one who created all things. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that in the beginning, God. Now, in the English language, it loses a lot. But in the original language, it's three. God is three in one. You can take any Bible, any translation you want, and we'll sit down with it, and we will see the Trinity. God man was manifested in the flesh. We read in Matthew chapter 1 that when he was born, his name was Emmanuel. God with us. I had a couple of fellows come visit me one time. And they said there's no such thing. And I said, well, let's take any Bible you want. Let's take your Bible, for example. The New World Translation. In the New World Translation, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means, when translated, with us is God. In John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the New World Translation, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. A is not found in any of the original manuscripts. Oh, but one of them said, Don, you've got to understand. If you were to understand the Greek, there's different words used there for God. Oh. I have Thomas Newberry's interlinear Greek New Testament. So I went and I got it, brought it out, opened it up to John's Gospel, chapter 1, passed it to him. What's this, he said. I said, well, that's the Greek. I said, you fellows are all fluent in the Greek. closer. He didn't pass it back, he threw it back to me. In any translation of the Word of God, bar none, we see the Trinity. And then we see when we come down to verse 14 of that chapter that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see that the Holy Spirit is also. In Acts, we have the account of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some property and they were to give the money to the church or to the, but they decided that they would hold some back. And then they lied about holding back and lied about how much they had gotten. Peter said, Ananias, you have lied, when you lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied not unto men, but unto God. And then we can keep on going, and we're not going to tonight, but we could keep on going. There is lots and lots of places in Scripture, lots of proof. So God himself, in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down to this earth, where we read that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But here we find the curse. The ground was cursed. Satan was cursed, but the ground was cursed. When we turn to Galatians, we find that the Lord Jesus, let's turn Galatians chapter 3. I can quote it, but I may not quote it properly, so we'll read it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. We go back to, let's say, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Deuteronomy chapter 21, we find there that if a man has committed a sin punishable by death and he is hanged, he will be taken down that same day and buried him. For he's not to hang on the tree all night, for it is accursed. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he come to this earth, he was made a curse for you and for me. The God of all creation, the God who spoke the word, the God from eternity past, you know, God existed long before anything else we can think of. When God was in eternity, in the eternal ages past, there were no stars, there was no universe, there was no planets, there was no earth, there was no you, no me. Think about it. When God made this earth and he placed you and I on it, and he knows each one of us, he told Jeremiah, he said, I knew thee when thou wast in thy mother's womb. I had a friend in Kamloops, a Pentecostal man, and he said, Don, did you ever stop and think that before God laid the footing for the foundation of this world, that he knew you? That he knew you were going to be born? That he knew you were going to have a time in your life when you accepted Christ? Long before the world ever was, God knew you, and he knew me. When sin entered into the world, it caused a curse, and the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Sorrow. He said that in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. He's talking to Satan here. What about sorrow? The Lord Jesus Christ sorrowed like no one has ever sorrowed before or since. He's the God of all creation. Let's not lose sight of that. I've heard people say, well, he's half God and half man. There's no such thing. That statement is from the very pit of hell. He was 100% God. And when he came down to this earth, born in a babe in a manger, he was 100% man. He never ceased to be God. He was both at the same time. Sorrow. In Lamentations we read, look, all ye that pass by, and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow with which I've been afflicted. In Matthew 26, we read how that he was sorrowful unto death. How sorrowful do you have to be that it would kill you? That is unto death. He was. He's still the God of all creation. He still has the power to banish you and me from his holy presence forever. But no. He was willing to be sorrowful unto death, to suffer agony and anguish that we can know nothing about. Thorns. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee. When we lived down in Victoria West, down at the end of our property, there was some shrubs with thorns. My sister's property next door, there's a tree, and it has thorns. What a miserable thing when you're trying to mow the lawn around, and these things are sharp. Those thorns, they took them, they twisted them together to form a crown, and they mocked him and placed on him the crown of thorns. I can't begin to imagine, I don't want to imagine, what it must have been like, what it felt like when those thorns were drove in to his head. He suffered in ways that you and I can never imagine. And then we read that he sweat. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. We are told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, that he sweat as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, it wasn't blood, it was sweat mingled with blood. There was a doctor in Halifax, Dr. Helen Hunter, and she explained, I was just young, but I remember her explaining it to my father and some others, how that could be, how the sweat could have blood mingled in with it. And a person's sweat, as it were, drops of blood. I was at a conference one time out in West Bank, British Columbia. And the speaker, he was actually a doctor. He was a specialist, a blood specialist. He was a cancer doctor, blood specialist. And he told us all about how the blood would mingle with the sweat. But the anguish that you had to be in order for that to happen, is unexplainable, he said. He said, even as a doctor and studying the blood, and he said, I could never begin to imagine the sorrow and the anguish that you would have to suffer for that to happen. But he said, it is possible for it to happen. Not only is it possible for it to happen, it did happen. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then we also read in verse 19 that he would return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. First place in Scripture that we read of death. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to Calvary's cross, and he said, when he could very well have said, Father, let us banish man from our holy presence forever, and we'll start over again with a better model. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them. If someone were to slap me in the face, if someone were to spit, which is what they did to him, if someone were to pluck the hair from my face, that would be a miracle because I can't grow it. I would be so put out. And my first instinct would be to aim for the nose. Not so the Lord Jesus Christ. When man had heaped the very, very worst that they could upon him, he said, Father, forgive them. And then after God had poured out the punishment that was due to you and me, and this scene was clothed in darkness. Now, I have heard it stated that the darkness was so thick that it could literally be felt. Now, I don't know. I've never seen anything that dark, but if you go down in the mines in Sydney, Nova Scotia, it's black. It's blacker than the coal dust that they're mining. But nobody could ever look upon the suffering and what was taking place on Calvary's cross and live through it. The only one who could witness that suffering was God himself. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man can take my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And then, when he had suffered all, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head. He dismissed the spirit. The Romans didn't kill him. The Jews didn't kill him. He laid down his own life voluntarily that you and I might live. As we've already been hearing this evening, we know because God raised him back to life again the third day. And he is seated at God's right hand in the glory. And he's not a spirit. There is a living man at God's right hand in the glory this evening, and he has the nail prints in his hand, he has the spear wound in his side, and I'm going to see it. The only way that you will ever see it is if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. When we pass through the article of death, all that awaits is the blackness and darkness of hell, and then to be cast into the lake of fire. And my friend or my acquaintance, or Don, he said, "I couldn't have respect for or love or worship a God that would be so cruel as to cast somebody into hell's fire forever." I don't suppose I could either. But God has no choice. That's your decision, not God's. If you reject his free offer of mercy, we talk about salvation being free, there is absolutely nothing that has ever been, that is, or that ever will be, that's as expensive as salvation. It costs you and I nothing. But it cost God everything that he had. It cost him his life as a man. And he has a place reserved for us in heaven. The only reason that a person goes to hell is because that's their desire. We talk about an all-powerful God. There's absolutely nothing that God cannot do. I'll take issue with that. God cannot lie. Every word that he utters is the absolute truth. God cannot break a promise. When God promises something, he keeps that promise. God cannot change your decision once you make it. Are you saved tonight? Has there been a time in your experience when you have realized your need of a Savior and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? If you have, you've made the right choice, the right decision. If you haven't, it's still a decision that you have made, and God can never change that decision. So anybody who ends up in hell is not there because that's where God punishing put them. They're there because that's where they wanted to be. Father said to me one time, he said, "Quick, you're crazy," he said. "Why would anybody want to be there?" I don't know. Why would you reject God's free offer of mercy? There's only two choices. Accept and be saved and be in the place that God is going to prepare for us. Or reject. And God has absolutely no choice. he must banish you from his holy presence forever, and the only place there is hell. Our God, we take this opportunity now to bow in thy holy presence to thank thee for the gift of salvation, to thank thee, our God, for the one who was willing to be obedient unto thee, even unto the death of the cross. For the one, our God, who was willing to give his back to the smiters as they made long their furrows. For the one who was willing to be nailed to that cross of wood and raised up between his own heaven and his own earth. For the one, our God, who has been raised on the third day and is seated at thine own right hand in the glory this evening. We thank thee, our God, for a full and a free pardon through his finished work. And if there are any here this evening who have never had a time in their life's experience when they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, we pray, our God, that this would be the night. This would be the time that they would come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Part us now with thy blessing, we pray, in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.